Speaking of, I saw Motorhead the other night. It was loud.
Was that what you were at? Was it House of Booze?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So loud.
It's Motorhead. I mean, Lemmy probably can't hear a goddamn thing anymore.
Or feel, apparently, from all the drugs he's on.
On? Still, you think?
Still, allegedly, yeah. They were showing it. There, some fans were talking about some video they made, some documentary, and he would only let him show the booze. Lemmy's like, no, you can't see the whatever he does, coke or speed. I think it's speed.
That makes sense.
He does speed all day long.
How do I don't?
What is speed? Is speed coke? Is speed a variant of coke?
Isn't speed? Isn't that methamphetamines?
Don't ask me. I smoke pot and I drink beer.
And no, that's speed is what's in like cough syrup? Not cough syrup, but like cold medication.
Epinephrine. Oh, epinephrine.
And that what that is?
I don't know. Acetaminophen.
You have the internet in this place?
Nope.
No?
Actually, we do, but you're going to need the password.
Actually.
You kept it?
It's in here.
Oh, good. Every time we get something new, we have to put it in. And everybody's like, God damn it, Ed. Because, you know, I have to use the 126-bit encryption.
Well, let's talk about, and I was going to make a joke when I walked in, but I decided to save it for recording. Could you cram more fucking electronics in this place?
Like, I don't know
honestly.
What you mean. In which room?
Exactly. In which room? The only one that is lacking electronics is actually the kitchen.
It has a microwave. It has the JBL iPod player.
Yeah.
That's in
and
there.
And that's the least the amount that you have in any room.
You actually can't see the rest. There's a hand mixer, a blender, and a sandwich press, a sandwich grilled cheese maker thing that makes a triangle with molten cheese.
It still falls far behind any of the other rooms.
Well, you
got to
have
house.
A TV in the room. And then I have a sound bar to enhance it because the sound on that TV is crap. Yeah. The Wii is in here. DVD player because the stupid Wii doesn't play DVDs. Yeah. And then the cable box. That explains the entertainment center.
Well, don't forget your
digital picture frame.
Digital picture frame. And then the boogie board you carry in your pocket over there.
Oh, the Evo.
Yeah.
The sexy
that,
Evo.
That giant.
My laptop, which is right down there.
Where's that?
It's in the bag.
Okay.
I didn't whip it out yet.
Yeah.
Listen, like you're one to talk. You walked in here and opened up a box of goodness. You have a brand new laptop. You have a $10,000 camera.
It's not that expensive.
I will say that that camera costs more than your car is valued at.
Oh, easily. Actually, no, that's not true because I don't. There's a lot of things wrong with this state, but one thing they haven't figured out is how to value a car. So when I get, you know, you pay the taxes on the car to get the little sticker on your license,
right?
Every fucking year I get this thing.
The excise tax.
The excise tax, thank you. Every year I get this thing, and they value my wife's car, which, I mean, is no, like, great shakes. It's like a 2001 Ford Focus. It's valued at, like, $1,200, if that much. It's like $1,000. It's valued at fucking nothing.
And what year is it? It's
2001.
So it's not
I mean, it's not
decades
ancient.
Old.
No. Well, actually, it is a decade old. But then my car, which is built in, like, the late 1800s, they value it, like, $4,000. And every year I'm like, what the fuck? Like, they clearly have not. And what do you do? Like, who do you call? Like, is it really, honestly, is it worth calling at that point?
And you say, hey, my car is not worth this
so
much.
Look, I'll send you a picture of, like, the rusted out wheel wells if you want.
I'll come pick you up and take you to lunch, and you can tell me how much you think this thing's worth.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
How much do you have to pay a year? How much was your excise?
I don't even know. I mean, it was more than the Ford, which is in far better shape and far better condition than the Saab is.
I wish I knew where ours was because I felt like I got off cheap and we just bought a 2007
I mean,
Acura.
Well, that's the thing. It's not that much, but it's still, you look at it, you're like, this is just wrong. Like, it's wrong. Like, it's the same thing with my condo. Like, the assessment is just could not be further off because they did the assessment in, like, 2005 when the place was worth, you know, it was. I think the guy that before us bought it for well over $250,000.
Well, you know what you should do when they're walking through.
And now it's like 160 grand.
Have you had an assessor through lately?
They do it. The last time I called about it, they do it like every couple of years. So I think it's coming up sooner than later.
Grab a hammer. And as
start
they walk
smashing
through,
smashing shit.
Oh, hole in the wall.
A big fucking hole over here. I don't know where that came from.
That's got to be at least a couple $100.
Why are you covered in dust, sir? Got me.
Look, you could see upstairs through our ceiling.
But really, like, I mean, it's. It's just all that little nickel and dime like bullshit, but it's so not worth calling the excise car tax people about it. It's not worth it.
All right, well, tell me if this is worth it then, because this I just got a letter from a collections agency that says I owe $110 for two tickets from August, the end of August, and the beginning of December of 2007 in Somerville.
Okay.
Now, mind you, I had just moved to Somerville.
Okay.
Because we got here in mid-July. Moved at the end of August. I still had Virginia tags on my car, when I got these tickets, because that was the license plate that was on the
right.
on the records. So Collections sends me a bill for $110. I call Somerville. I look it up online, and it says I have two outstanding tickets. So I call them, and I say, listen, where did these tickets come from? I never got a ticket. I never got a notice that said, hey, you didn't pay this ticket. They said that they sent not one, not two, but three notices for each ticket. So you mean to tell me I missed eight pieces of correspondence, six pieces of mail, and two tickets put on my car back in 2007? And I asked them, I said, did you send them to the right address?
And to kind of preface this for anybody that may or may not know, you're pretty responsible about that shit. Like
I don't mess around together. With it. Yeah, because you know me, I get in trouble and I pay the price.
Yeah.
So if it's there, and that's what I said to Lydia, I go, you look at my record, you'll see that I paid a couple other tickets, one where there was a snowstorm and I was out of town and couldn't move the car, so I got a ticket. I came right over to your little shack there in Somerville and paid my ticket.
Yeah.
Why would I pick these two from 2007 to make a stand?
Blow off, yeah.
So what they did was she escalated it to the next person, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, they came back with a deal for me.
Mm.
The guy was able to drop one ticket and get rid of the late fees on another. So I owe the city of Somerville $40 at this point.
Okay.
A few quick phone calls. Really wasn't that much of a hassle.
Yeah.
What do you do there? Do you pay the $40 and call it a win? Or do you continue to fight because you don't want to pay anything, but you might have to take a day off from work for it?
I mean, that's where you got a great example of this is at the fruit stand where I work. People come in and they shop for a very expensive computer. And then they say, okay, cool. Thanks for the information. I'm going to drive to Salem, New Hampshire and buy it. Now, the tax in Massachusetts, which everyone, Massachusetts, no Obama, it's 6.25%. Suck it the fuck up.
It's a little, it's higher from Virginia was 4.5, right?
That sounds about right.
And
yeah.
then it's a little higher.
It's a little higher, but
I mean, we got the socks.
Yeah, there's, anyway. So at least we have schools here. But, yeah, and we don't work on commission at the fruit stand, so I'm not losing it, but I just say to them, look, you're going to leave here. You're going to start driving to Salem, New Hampshire, which is not an hour. You're going to realize on the way that you need gas to make it there and home. So you're going to stop off. You're going to get gas, $30 maybe.
Easy.
Because they're probably driving a Land Rover from Marblehead. So they top off the tank, $25, $30. You're $30 there. While you're in the gas station, you're like, oh, there's a Dunks in here. I'd love a decaf. Go over, you know, get a decaf for yourself, one for the missus, maybe one for the kids, donuts all around, $8. You're up to about $40 at this point. Then you're going to drive to New Hampshire, you're going to buy your computer, tax-free, fuck you, the man. And then you're going to be pulling out of the mall parking lot and be like, God, we're hungry. You can hit the Applebee's, and that's another, you know, $40, $50. Now you're well beyond the $36 in tax that you would have spent if you just buy the fucking thing now.
And that's if you're lucky enough to leave buying just the laptop. Because since you're there, hey, no taxes. What else do we need?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I'll take that case. And we need these cables over here. And my wife
get
wants
monster
a new,
cables.
My wife,
they're the best.
I wanted to call you so bad one day. We sell little 6-foot HDMI cables. $19. So it's pretty reasonable for an HDMI cable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can get them online for what, you know, $0.06.
Yeah. And I have better advice for you after you finish this.
So, the guy's buying an Apple TV. He's like, well, do I need a cable for this? And I said, well, yeah,
did you talk him out of it?
Nah, he wanted it, whatever. People spend money in that place like they sweat it. So, he buys the thing, and I said, I have these HDMI cables. And, you know, it's 6 feet long, and it's $19. Oh, I'm gonna go over to Best Buy, I'm going to get the monster cables. And I'm like, okay, like, I mean, these, you know, it's HDMI, it's a digital signal.
It either goes or it
doesn't.
Digital,
it's on or it's off. No. It's a far better picture quality with the monster cables. I have a 450-inch plasma LCD LED backlit TV, you know, in my basement, and I put the generic cables on it, and you can definitely see a difference. All right, sir. I mean, it's just, it's that kind of, like, you know, I mean, knock yourself, go spend $80 more on a set of cables.
For the record, if you can catch your Comcast guy or your cable provider, whoever it is, when they're doing an install either at your place or even on the street, it might be nice to say, hey, can I get an HDMI cable? They have boxes of them.
Yeah.
And they hand them out like candy.
Yeah. Because they don't cost anything.
No, monster cables are a ripoff.
No.
So what is the moral of the story? Would you have gotten the $40, called it a wash, or should I keep fighting?
I think it's I think it's totally worth it. Just pay the $40 and make it go away.
That's actually what I decided to do.
Wash your hands, be done.
I don't know if I'm getting old and lazy.
No. It's common sense. Burn up a day of, you know, granted, burning up a day at work, in your case, is probably a good thing. But wasting your time standing around municipal buildings, you know, waiting for your number to be called and all that horseshit.
But what happened to angry me that would have fought the man saying I never got these tickets to begin with?
Is it worth it for $40?
Not really, no.
I mean, if it was...
especially because it's Somerville. I don't even live there anymore. If I still live there,
yeah.
I might think about it.
Wash your hands. Be done with
it.
No.
So far away.
So far. I came all the way from Marblehead. We had... I mean, you know a little bit about where I live.
The mansions?
It goes Marblehead, Salem, Peabody. All right? There's a town in between. And I had this woman call one night, rip shit angry. I left my power cable for my computer there, and now my computer won't turn on, and you people, didn't give me my power, and I want you to overnight it. Because we get people coming from all over. Like, they drive down from, like, Maine and shit.
Did you tell her that she started that sentence with, I left my?
You get the idea. We failed to give her power cable back, is the point.
Okay.
So... She's just ranting and raving, and you people did this and blah, 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 and I want you to overnight. And we figured she probably lives, you know, in southern Maine somewhere, and it's kind of a hike. Well, and sure, we would love to do that. You know, it's kind of late this evening, but we'll send it out first thing tomorrow. Well, I can't use my computer. Well, let's get your address. She lives in Marblehead. She wanted us to FedEx overnight for like $25, $30, power cable, a town away. And, like, that's, on a daily basis with these people.
So what did you end up doing? Did somebody drive it to her?
I told the manager. I was like, give me the fucking cable. And I will go the extra 2 miles. She's like, oh, I can't. You said, you can't do that. You can't do that. I'm like, all right, fine. Like, go for it. Knock yourself out. Overnight it to the cunt. But it's just, it's that kind of, it's, and I was you about a week ago, and you can ask my wife about this. I'm gradually losing my shit.
Over about people?
Just people in general.
Yeah, it's like, the worst. Serving the public is the worst.
Yeah, the entitlement. I've said to more than one person working in, you know, just in the general public more so than we used to, every racial and ethnic stereotype that there is
is exactly
is
correct.
Magnified by the lights in the mall for some reason. You know, the cheap Jew, the stuck-up white asshole, you know, with too much money, I had the Asian lady the other night that wasn't happy with anything. Every, ethnic stereotype is just amplified 1,000-fold in that place.
There are stereotypes for a reason. People just don't go, oh, so-and-so is such-and-such because. It's a stereotype for a reason. It exists.
I mean, I literally heard a man last night I was tuning it out because he was just complaining and I just can't take it anymore. And at the end of it, I heard him go, it's just unacceptable.
Oh,
that's literally how he ended it's unacceptable. And I like flipped through the thing and I'm like, Goldberg. You know, I mean, it's just.
It'll ruin you. I
don't understand it. I mean, you know, the Mexicans, they come in like droves. It's like the bus like drops them off.
No, they all took one minivan.
They all took one minivan or, you know, the official car of the Mexican-American, which is the Toyota SR5.
Yes.
And you know that there was like 24. Get out of there. So first in this place, it was the goddamn dogs.
Well, now we have cats.
And now it's the fucking cats. The dogs are at least in the other room.
These cats will get in everything.
Jesus Christ.
You check out their classy litter box. It's in the fireplace.
Yeah, that's actually kind of nice.
The woman needs
to
clean that.
Don't get up there.
So you've been unlucky enough to have to deal with the public. And you mentioned our old jobs where it was at least fun. We were pseudo celebrities, whatever you think.
Yeah, sure.
People liked what we did and appreciated it. Now you're just a shill.
Yeah.
You're just giving them what they want. And if you don't do it the way they want, they're going to blow up at you. And I don't know if I could ever go back to it.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like the clientele where I work, I mean, by and large is excellent. I mean, they're very nice people. By and large, they're fairly intelligent. I'm not flipping burgers by any stretch of the imagination. But it's just it taints you. Like the like you said, there's stereotypes for a reason. And it just, like, I see a name in the list and I'm just like, oh, Javier Rodriguez, you know, it's like, and of course, like the guy's name wasn't Javier, but his last name was Ramirez. And I see him, you know, he's made an appointment, he's going to come in. I'm just looking for, like, the short guy with the mustache and, like, you know, the Houston Astros hat.
And his shirt buttoned only on the top button.
Yeah, and of course, the guy's, like, 6'4" and has, like, a nice, like, head of hair, is wearing a suit, and he's like, I'm, you know, Mr. Ramirez. And I'm like, oh, no shit.
Yeah, you feel like a little bit of a dick.
Yeah, exactly. But it taints you. It absolutely does. Like, it's, and you've been there, like, you know, waiting tables. It's the same thing. Like, you know, black people aren't going to tip.
Oh, on Sundays, forget about it. When they're wearing their nice hats... Sundays nobody wanted to work because it was the church folk.
Yeah.
Regardless of race, but really, if it was, you had a black lady in her nice hat, you knew you weren't getting much.
No, yeah. So, you know, black people don't tip. Like, you know, white people are pains in the asses and send everything back. I mean, it's just...
Asians can't drive. Saw that today.
Oh, yeah.
I looked at him and went, she's just the girl in the past. She said, ah, hello. Yeah, hello. Oh, I wanted to ram the car right into him. I'm just angry. And I wonder if it's Boston. I know I was always angry, but I wonder if Boston made me angrier.
Well, you know, it's funny because I have noticed since moving back that it's a lot more mellow here than it used to be.
That's unbelievable to me.
From like, and I know it sounds nuts. I think it's two factors that changed in the, because I moved away. And
more Mexicans.
No. I moved away in 2000, came back in 2007. So in those 7 years, two things happened. One, the Big Dig was completed. And two, the Red Sox won the World Series.
Winning sports town.
And I really honestly think that, I mean, because like, I was here when the Patino era started for the Celtics. And I was like, holy Christ, like it's the Patino era. Everything's going to get better. And his first game coaching the Celtics... they beat the Chicago Bulls in the Jordan Pippen era. And it was like the first game of the season. Everyone's like, holy fuck. Like, you know,
we've made it.
Like, this is it. And then it was shit for like five more years. And like Patino's like spaghetti sauce. It was like, get out of here. Stop it. And the Sox were just bad. You know, like they got to like, you know, maybe the divisionals a couple of times. But other than that, it's just bad. But, I mean, I saw a guy on 93 northbound coming out of North Quincy and going into the tunnel before the Big Dig was done. So, it was like, you know, it was like trying to cram, you know, like a Q-tip through the top of a needle, through the eye of a needle. Guy gets out of the car and, like, literally just, like, starts, like, kicking the door of the car in front of him and, like, smashing at the window. Like, in the middle of the fucking road.
I would wet myself.
Like, on 93, you know. I mean, you don't really see that anymore. I mean,
I've
still,
wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, and you want to, but there's still, like, you know, there's still mooks out there. Like, don't get me wrong, but I think it's mellowed out a lot.
I don't see, for me, it's the traffic definitely irritates me, but growing up on the Beltway in D.C., the traffic here is nothing.
Yeah.
I don't worry about this. I go, oh, 5 minutes, done.
And you know where it's going to be, and you know where it's going to happen. You know what's going to get fucked up.
And you yell, you go, come on, and you honk your horn and flip somebody off, and it's over with.
Yeah.
It's not like you're doing... You go 1 mile an hour for 2 hours
on
a big circle of 495 in the Beltway.
Everyone gets on and off, you know, at some point, yeah.
But it's definitely an angrier area, and I don't know if I've just gotten older and angrier or just angrier in general. I'm trying to work on my patience, but it's not there. And I don't know if I could go back to waiting tables if I had to.
Yeah, there are days when, unfortunately, and I think everyone understands... And I'm on the older end of the spectrum there. And most people work there like between like 20 and 25. And then it's kind of like me and like the managers in this weird kind of middle position. And then it's old people like retirees who are just doing it for funsies. But there have been days that I've been like, I need to like not be out here talking to people, or I'm going to like put my elbow into a little old lady's face.
Those are the days you go back and organize the refrigerator, aren't they?
Yeah, and I go back and I clean out the fridge or like answer phones or something like that. Like, you know.
Now, our pal Kevin Begley also worked at the fruit stand.
Yeah.
And he said someone did the math there, and I forget what the numbers were, but with the profits, Apple could take, I think, 1% or 10%. I think it was 1% of their profits. And give every employee a $10,000 or $20,000 bonus.
That makes sense.
And still be okay.
Yeah, totally. The record setting, and I'm supposed not to talk about any of this, but whatever.
What'd you sign a confidentiality agreement?
Well, I mean, you're not supposed to talk about it when you're working there. I mean, it's kind of, but when you have a record setting quarter, when you make $4 billion in profit in 3 months,
share the wealth.
Can you spread it around just a little bit? I mean, just a little. I mean,
even a hundy would be nice.
Strike me a check for $250 and I'd be pumped. Like, really, like pumped. And then it goes on the next quarter, $29 billion.
I'm sorry, $29
billion? $29 billion in a quarter.
Ugh.
3 months. That's right. Three times four is 12, right?
Yes.
$29 billion. Like, you know, yeah. I mean,
if you think about it and break it down, they are built in China, and there's probably 29 billion employees there assembling all these things that need to be made. So they're all making, you know, a couple bucks.
Well, it's funny because Wired Magazine just did an article on primarily on Foxconn. And they have.
Is this about the suicide rate and how everybody's got their panties in a twist?
Yeah, well, and that was the funny thing. It was like the suicide rate in Russia is like, you know, 17 out of 1,000 or 17 out of 1,000,000 or something like that. And the one here is like 11. And then if you, you know, extrapolate, it's like, you know, one in a million.
So, yeah, 1% of their population.
Like 17 people, you know. But anyway.
Because they throw themselves out of windows working there.
Yeah, and they put up
they
like
put
these,
up nets.
Yeah. God.
So enjoy your iPad. Somebody died for that.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. The whole thing is just weird.
Did you hear about not Cheney? Who's the other old guy? McCain, I believe. It was some old politician said that they make Apple products in America.
Really?
Yeah, because they're based out of Cupertino. He misspoke, of course.
Well, yeah, it says designed in Cupertino, California, not
built in China.
Built in China. Yeah. I mean, you think they're expensive now? Have a bunch of unionized Americans build these things, and this laptop in front of me would be about $10,000.
But it's pretty. You do have one of the newer ones.
Yeah, it's great. But
so I feel like you should tell the people what you've been up to aside from, you know, shilling for Steve.
Yeah, slinging some silicon for Steve, and
you look like a cowboy right now.
Yeah, rocking a plaid shirt because that's what all the kids are wearing.
You got some boots on.
I figured I was coming to Alston, so I figured I'd, you know, hipster it up a little bit. But I'm teaching photography classes at the Boston Center for Adult Education. So if you want to learn how to use your stupid camera that you got for Christmas, you can come there and I'll teach you how to do it.
Please teach some. I don't even know the first thing about cameras, but I find it so annoying to see people who clearly have no idea what they're doing with them.
Fumble.
Yeah, or just like they're a point and shoot.
Yeah.
I just can't take it. And you've pointed out what makes somebody a lousy camera owner. Because we've worked a few times together while you have your camera. And what are those? What are the signs of a terrible camera owner? The strap?
Oh, yeah. All right, so here's a couple.
You've got a few rules.
I have some rules. If you put the strap that came with your camera on the camera, so the name brand of your camera is strapped around your neck, you need to return your camera or give it somebody else.
Now, why is that a sin?
What's the best analogy I can?
Is it like when people get a Honda and put the Honda symbol on the back window in a big decal?
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Like when there's this huge white Chevy Avalanche that I see all the time for some reason. He lives somewhere between where I live and where I work. And in big white vinyl letters across the front. I mean, you know what a Chevy Avalanche is, right?
Yeah. It's a big
ass
truck.
It's like a fucking tank. On four wheels. Will you get out of here?
I thought you liked cats.
I like kitties, but I'm trying to talk to my friend here. Do you purr? But it says across the windshield. I mean, I don't even know how the guy sees out of the windshield. The letters are so goddamn big. Avalanche.
On the front?
Across the windshield. And every time I see it, I mean, nobody's in the car with me but me. And I go, what kind of car is that? No, I mean, it's kind of like, it's wearing the t-shirt of the band you're going to see to the show.
Okay.
pulling up to, you know, pulling up to out in front of a restaurant, getting out and giving your car keys to the valet and a BMW, and you're wearing a T-shirt that has a BMW logo on the front.
So do the cameras say I bought a Canon? Is that my first mistake?
Well,
or is that
if,
a good one?
Not if you are your mother or a Japanese tourist.
Okay, so I can't. But let's just say I am. I bought a Canon.
Okay.
Does the strap that comes with it? Does a strap
throw
come
that
with
out?
It? Okay, so I have to buy a
the
separate
strap in the box. Throw the
I have
throw
to
that
buy
out.
A separate strap that doesn't.
You're
say
better
anything.
Off like strapping a dish towel around your neck.
Why? Because they're bad, or because I look like a jackass?
You look like
both?
An asshole. Right. Yeah,
and I'm advertising. What
you
to
should
steal.
Not. You should not spend $1,000 on a camera if you're not going to buy a good strap for it.
Okay,
like, just don't.
So it's like the iPod headphones. You don't buy an iPod and use the iPod headphones.
No, because those headphones are, you know, in the universe of headphones, they're not that great.
Yeah.
You know, let's see. Yeah, I mean. I say that about Canons, but I mean, if you're a sports, if you work for Sports Illustrated, buy a Canon. If you're my mother, buy a Canon. If you're
are they easy to use or they just catch action?
No, that's
better?
Just who they, that's. Well, I mean, I think that's what it is about sport. I think it's just an action like lens thing.
Because for me, a camera is just I want to take a picture of that. Click, but there's shutter settings that you get blur effects and there's lighting and. All these other apertures. I don't even know what an aperture
is. Well,
yeah,
I mean, and that's kind of what I do in this class. But a big part of it is, you know, a JPEG is, you know, the MP3 of, like, the image world.
Right.
And, you know, it's a compressed image from the sensor. Every camera compresses it differently. So, like, for example, the early, like, the first 10 years of Sony point-and-shoot digital cameras, they had a weird kind of... purple cast over them. It's called a chromatic aberration. And if
so,
you,
wait a minute. Sony had their own special thing, like the mini disc,
yeah,
and
weird.
The memory stick.
Yeah, go figure.
And everything else they've ever
and
made.
Yeah, every like computer charger, every computer there has had a different charger that plugs into it. But no, it was just and it was the image processing to create that JPEG to create that compressed image. They all handle it differently, so you will get a different result out of every single. Every different camera and every different manufacturer, depending on what, you know, what software, what algorithm they were using, you know, in that camera. And then, you know, and then those individual settings too, and you got the little knob. It's like, you know, landscape, you know, babies, you know, all that different
stuff. The flowers
stuff.
For macro.
Flowers for macro. Like it saturates the colors differently and everything. So like, and that's what I tell people, you know, like these, you know, soccer moms that take my BCAE class. I'm like, what comes out of your camera is not what you saw. Like, by any stretch of the imagination. Like, you put it in landscape mode, and you take a picture, it's saturating the greens, it's saturating the blue, because it's saying, oh, landscape, must be clouds and trees, you know, and sky.
Oh, all right. I didn't know any of this.
Yeah.
Now, the
so
flower
like
is, I thought the flower was just for close-up pictures.
I mean, it is, and a lot of cameras will, you know, it'll basically move the lens to, so it'll focus closer, but it also will super saturate the colors.
Oh,
you know,
I did not know
a preset.
That. Right.
It's a preset. You know, yeah, like on your like your soundbar up here, it's like, you know, bass, you know, movie, music.
There's
whatever.
A subwoofer in that thing, if you can believe it.
Yeah, why not?
I don't
so,
know if it's a real subwoofer.
Yeah, so I mean it's you know, there's a lot to it.
You make it sound so interesting because when I look at a picture I either go,
meh.
I like that or I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know what makes a good photographer.
Well, I had like this big conversation because one of the things that, you know, and so it basically starts from there, like, you know, this is what your camera does. And it ends up at like, you know, Photoshop and like fixing your shitty pictures. And, but we were going through, I took one class and we were going through like, you know, famous pictures.
Wait a minute, take a look at that. I took
Kitties.
That. How is that?
Well, the one on the right, is that Diesel on the right?
Yes.
He's a little blown out from the flash.
That we took that.
Is that you on the right?
Yeah, I went skiing.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, I can ski now. I fall a few times.
Never take a picture from below the nose, because all you see is like nose hair and nostrils. That's good. Like, that's fine. But we were looking at like all these famous pictures, and I realized when I was putting all the pictures together, it's all like pictures of horrible shit happening.
Oh, good. For those that can't see what's happening, because we're sitting in my bedroom, there's a digital picture frame, and Charlie was critiquing the pictures.
Yeah, that's cute. I like
a fat
that.
Head there.
I like
I'm
that.
I'm,
but see, look, see, no chins because you took it from above a little bit.
And it captured my red.
So.
She looks crazy.
Yeah, that's picture. A little too low. Yeah, she looks a little psycho. But all these pictures of like are of bad shit happening, you know, like Falling Man from 9/11.
Hindenburg.
Kent State. And we were looking at the Kent State picture, and one of the girls in the class, who was really cute but kind of a pain in the ass, which kind of usually go hand in hand.
Yep.
she was like, you know, she's like, from what you've told us and everything, like, that's not really that great a picture because it's not composed very well. It's kind of a mess, and like the background's kind of out of control. And but you know, there's a student in a pool of blood on the ground, like the girl like screaming in the middle of the screen. But there's a lot of things like wrong with it. And I was like, all right, well, like you tell me, like, is this a good picture or not? You know, like it's. And one of the things I had them do was bring in pictures from home that they like. Like bring in like three.
Oh, you had to love that then. Did you get to crap on them?
So, yeah. So I was basically like, well, and that was the thing was.
This is the perfect job for you.
Well, and here's the question. I'll pose it to you too, because I posed it to them. I was like, so if I have you bring in three of your favorite pictures, can I make the caveat that the picture cannot be of like your dead grandmother? Well, this is my picture of my dead grandmother, and I miss her, and I love her, and this is the last picture I took with her.
Because that's an emotional response.
Because it's an emotional, it's a visceral reaction, you know. I want pictures of, like, you know, pretty things, and, like, sunsets, and, like, things that they thought, you know, were real. So, but isn't that what makes a picture, is that visceral, emotional, like, connection to it?
But I think it only counts if you have a disconnect to begin with. If there's nothing hooking you into it, if you can look at a picture and go, and be moved by it, without having anything invested in it to begin with, I think that makes a good picture.
So, but that's the thing is like that's their own picture. So every one they look at, they're going to be like, "Oh, this is when we went to the Cape. Oh, this was this. This was that. This is my dead grandmother."
What is with your people taking pictures of their dead grandmother?
I figured, you know. So that's and that was kind of the question I posed to her. I was like, so you know, just taking the emotional aspect, but you know, you're looking at this picture. It's a dead kid on the ground, and then I ran like a little history of the picture behind the two, where I, you know, it was taken by I forget the guy's name. He was a photojournalism student at Kent State, and he won the Pulitzer Prize in 71 for that set of pictures. Yeah, when he was still a photojournalism student. So he won a fucking Pulitzer at like 20.
He's like, I don't need to graduate now.
No, fuck you, Kent State. But, you know, taking all of that out of
the
equation.
Don't let them hear you say that. They'll shoot you.
It's true. So taking all that out of the equation, you know, does that make the picture better or worse? You know, so it's just like, you know, it kind of got a little collegey there for a minute. I was kind of surprised, to be honest with you, because I thought it was going to be me just standing up there just being like, this is the shutter.
Now, do they call you Professor Charlie? Do they call you Dr. Paget? Do they call you Dr. Chuck? Do they call you Chris?
No, it's, I mean, I never bothered to learn their names, so I figured they didn't need to learn mine. No, it was like four people. They were all super nice. I really didn't know what to expect. To be honest with you, like I didn't know, like you hear like the Boston Center for Adult Education. It's like, well, it almost sounds like kind of like a halfway program. You know?
Sounds like the high school I went
sounds
to.
Sounds like a GED. Yeah, exactly. It sounds like you're like, you know, the misfit high school.
Valedictorian.
It's true. That cat could have been the valedictorian. the one with the big tail, not the other one.
Luckily, he wasn't in my class.
But it's not. It's like, because I mean, the courses aren't cheap. I mean, they're not expensive by any stretch. I mean, it's, you know, $250-$300 for like a 8-week course. But I mean, having never like, I had taught one class prior to that and it was 1 3-hour course and it was like in out done. And then all of a sudden I have 8-week courses lined up through like June.
Well, that's cool. That's gotta be keeping you busy.
Yeah. So it's great.
They have cooking classes there. Cause I've been thinking about taking a cooking class.
Yeah. They actually have really great ones. I know the girl that runs that program, which is how I got into it in the first place. They have really nice facilities, and it's right over on Arlington. It's like right around the corner from.
I always
Arlington
said I wouldn't stuff. Go back to school though.
It's not school. Though.
I know, but it's classes, and I was a terrible student anyway. It's all just got bad connotations for me.
There was a bartending. I guess it was a bartending class. I don't know. We went in and took pictures.
Mixology.
Of it. Yeah, something like that. But the guy, I mean, the guy was really he was real interesting. Get out.
He's producing the show.
I like that cat. I like that one better than the other one.
Really? Look, Max is the fuzzy one. Diesel is the short-haired.
Yeah, I like his big furry tail.
He's being really personable. Normally, he's kind of standoffish. Diesel's the one that's always in your face.
Yeah, he was just sitting in the recycling bag when I came
Diesel
in.
Is the Gibbs of the two.
Yeah, I gotcha.
The two, Gibbs and Diesel, are in each other's shit all the time. Gibbs will sniff and want to play with him, and then Diesel hiss, and Gibbs will walk away, and that's when Diesel swats him.
I gotcha.
And then Max is the Rigby of the two. They're both lazy. They just walk around doing whatever and could care less.
And the coloring kind of match between Max and Rigby. kind of brown and white.
I guess so.
Wasn't he? I don't know. Yeah,
anyway. You're colorblind.
That's true.
You shouldn't try to make those comparisons.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. So anyway, so there's that, and yeah, like just like I've been volunteering on and off at the kids' school, and
now what grade are they in now? First in kindergarten?
They are they're juniors and seniors in high school.
I mean, it's been a while since I've seen them.
It's been a bit. Yeah, they're first and second grade. And they're great. You know, they're still in that age where they still like school, so it's like not a big deal.
Right.
Now,
is there any discipline? Because I was a,
oh, Christ. Hold on. Make sure the cat doesn't stop the recording. Get down, kitty. There you go.
Diesel, you can't just go anywhere you want.
You're a good kitty.
When I was in, I spent most of first grade in the corner. And it wasn't because I was a bad student. It's just I talked a lot. I just liked to talk. Second grade was when I had my favorite teacher, Miss Jelina. Third grade, I guess, was kind of a meh. Was that Mrs. Rice? Fourth grade, you know, Mrs. Garrett. Fifth grade was Ms. Massey, and that was terrible. Miss Bridges was kindergarten.
I was odd year. Get down. Jesus Christ. No, go away. I thought my cat was fucking annoying. My odd years were shit, and my even years were great.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
My kindergarten teacher was awesome.
Yep.
Mrs. Doyle. My second grade teacher I loved and like still talks to my mother and like, you know, asks how I'm doing, Mrs. Johnson.
Really? I think most of mine are dead.
My fourth grade teacher, I basically had like schoolboy crush on, and she lives like blocks away from my parents, and my mom sees her in the grocery store every now and again.
She's still got it going on?
Mrs. Yuji. Now she's probably, I mean, she is about my parents' age. She's probably in like her mid 60s. You'll regret that. Don't chew the power cable. And then middle school and high school was a complete train wreck. But then my odd year, like Mrs. Simpson Diver was my first grade teacher, and she was evil. Or so I thought when I was in first grade. It turns out, you know, she's actually just a really nice lady, but she was a disciplinarian.
Right. And you were a pain in the ass.
I really wasn't. But she was just, you know, she just, like when you're a little kid, she was just, you know, she was mean. She was the mean one. Mrs. Stafford, my third grade teacher, really like was, and I think still is, mean. She's probably dead by now.
One can only hope.
And then what was my fifth grade teacher? There was Mrs. Shields and Mrs. Cartledge. And
they sound tough. They sound like a cop show.
Shields and Cartledge.
One's a cop, one's a doctor.
Right? And Mrs. Shields was super sweet, and Mrs. Cartledge was evil, and I had Mrs. Cartledge. She was the one that told me that the space shuttle blew up.
You were in fifth grade?
I was in fifth grade.
Yeah, I guess you were, because you were a year ahead of me.
Yeah, you were in fourth
grade. And I was in fourth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had Ms. Massey then, and I believe it was Ms. Massey then, and I didn't get to see it. We were one of the only classes in the school that wasn't watching.
That was because of you.
No, she was just a bitch. No. She was pregnant every year.
No, oh, God.
I swear to God, she was always pregnant. Kid would pop out, she'd heal up, bam, get knocked up again.
Wow.
From the minute I went to that school, I went there kindergarten through fifth grade, always pregnant.
It's a vagina lady, not a clown car.
She was a math teacher. She wasn't my homeroom. She was my math teacher in fourth grade. And she was also head of the patrols. And I became a patrol. If you can believe
it. You were a safety
this,
patrol?
I was a safety
Fuck
patrol.
Fuck yeah, high fives on that. Did you wear the orange sash?
Did
and everything?
I?
Yeah, I love that shit.
Now, this is back when I got perfect attendance, good citizenship awards.
What happened?
I can't even say the word anymore.
Right?
I'm so far gone. And I was a patrol, but this is where I started my downward spiral.
Yeah.
Because in math, I was also going to Signet, which, as you know, for Virginia, I don't know what they call it up here, but Signet down there was the advanced classes.
We didn't have that. We didn't.
Oh, they didn't call it Signet in Richmond?
No, there was TAG. There was the Talented and Gifted program. That was like the elementary thing. So.
Same thing. So yeah. It was called Signet where I was.
Huh.
And they would take the smart, air quotes, smart kids.
Right.
And today, with smart and creative, so today what they would call the kids with ADHD.
Right, yeah,
those
exactly.
Kids, instead of bussing them to a cool creative place, they now just put them on medication.
Yeah, they top them on drugs and roll them into the back of the room.
So I was doing, and back then we'd get on a bus once a week, I think, and on Thursdays, and we would go to this other school, and
wow,
I can remember playing checkers at lunch or chess at lunch and reading and doing cool projects. Yeah, it was fun when school taught you stuff.
Yeah,
that's
imagine that.
When they stopped doing that is when
we're
I got
really
out of
sit
it.
Here and watch this cat go to the bathroom?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just going. It's in the fireplace. He's behind his grate of privacy.
I might get in there with you, buddy.
Why are you staring at him?
Yeah, it's just creepy.
But you're cat goes in a litter box.
Yeah, but it's in a closet, and it's one of the ones that has the little roof on it.
Yeah, well, I thought the fireplace just worked. You didn't? Can you smell anything?
No, all I smell is that thing squirting out stuff.
Oh, good.
There.
So you never... That's my biggest fear since I live here. I wouldn't notice. Yeah. But it really, it's not
no,
bad.
No, I mean, I can see turds in there, but I don't smell them.
Yeah, they're not stinky. The woman needs to clean it. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a patrol. I was in... There were two math classes. There were the classes broken up into two groups, group one all and group two. Group one was the smarter, and I was in that. But I hated math, so I dropped to group two. This is Ms. Massey. We're back to Ms. Massey.
Gotcha.
And then they had to make a special group three for those of us that really sucked at math.
Yeah.
It wasn't so much I sucked. I just hated it. Because once you got into imaginary numbers, I tapped out.
Couldn't give a shit.
If it's imaginary, then my number is
why
my
do
answer's
I care?
Right.
Just yeah. tell me the fucking answer. That's what made me nuts about algebra was, well, if you know the goddamn answer, why try to figure out how you got there? The answer's right here. It's like Jeopardy. It's like, well, there's the answer.
Well, show your work. Show your work. Always, I always lost 10 points off the top because I never showed my work because I could look at it and go, 9 times 9 is 81. Why do I have to write 9x9 line 81?
Yeah.
I just know the answer. Just let me write it down. So, yeah, I dropped to group 3. And then when I got a D in math, she put me on suspension. And, well, I just wasn't going to take
from
that.
From the Signet program? Is that what you're
from the patrols.
Oh, from the patrol.
Because okay. Ms. Massey, the pregnant lady, headed up the patrols.
I got you.
And so I turned in my... Did you have a yellow slicker with a hat?
No, I don't think it ever went that far. I think we just had the...
I had a yellow slicker with a hat. Yeah. And my slicker, my hat, and my orange belt.
And your gun, your sidearm you put on the desk.
I said, I'm done. And you know what? I didn't even say it to her. I left it on her chair with a note or something. She knew it was mine. My name was on it.
Was that the first time you wrote Get Fucked? Or...
Needless to say, I had run-ins with her later on at the at field day.
Uh-huh.
Me and this kid Mario were flipping one of his wristbands back and forth. Just back and forth playing catch. Yeah. It was dangerous. No, give me that wristband.
Seriously? Like the terry cloth-like wristband?
Yeah.
Really?
Just a regular old wristband, like a rubber band, flipping it back and forth.
That's dangerous, really?
I told her, she said, give me the wristband. I said, no, it's Mario's. Because it was.
You're not wrong.
I wasn't lying. She said, give it to me. I said, no. It's Mario's.
It's Mario's.
And at no point did it dawn on me that I should just shut the fuck up and give it to her.
Really?
No. I just kept arguing until she said, give me the wristband and get down to the office.
Nice.
All right, here you go, lady. I'll see you down there. And that was Mr. Phillips, who was the principal. He and I became well acquainted because the next year, I told him to go buy his own siren whistle. You remember those siren whistles?
Oh, yeah.
I told him he could get his own at the Handy Dandy Market for 10 cents.
You're an asshole.
Because he wanted... Oh, somebody ratted me out and came to the class. We blew it in the hallway, and he came to the class and asked for it. And then he told me to get my things. So I had to
collect your things.
I had to get up from my...
You're fine.
The best part is I got up from my stupid little desk, and we had one of those coat closets that was on wheels.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a big box with a pole and hangers that don't come off.
Right.
You had to remember, you had to put your jacket on around it.
Yep.
So
the worst.
They're metal, though. They're pretty solid metal. We weren't wearing jackets at the time. It was pretty nice out. So it was nothing but exposed hangers. What did I do? One hand reached down, grabbed my bag, the other hand, just waving my hand back and forth.
Oh,
just
God.
Smacking the shit out of hangers.
You know what's funny? How old's your dad?
He is 70.
He's actually 53. He just looks that old because of you.
He God didn't have to deal with me until sixth grade. Mom did at that point. Dad, now that was fifth grade. Sixth grade, I got kicked off. Well, I got suspended for fighting.
All right.
I spent every day in lunch detention, which was go down to the lunchroom, get your lunch, come back up to a classroom.
Gotcha.
Because I didn't do homework or something. It was the dumbest thing. Or I was talking in class.
Yeah.
It was the stupidest thing. So what did I do? I read comics and doodled. Big deal. My friends were in there anyway. So we just goof off.
Imagine that.
I know, right?
Birds
then
of a feather.
I did get suspended for 3 days for fighting, and then my dad had to pick me up on the last day of school because we got in a paper fight on the bus before we even pulled out of the parking lot.
It's the last day of school. What the fuck? What's the matter with
you? We were having a good time throwing paper.
It's the last day of school. There's no laws. What the fuck?
So that brings us 4th through 6th grade. That's really where I just started my downward spiral, and it went from there.
Yeah, like my wheels came off in 6th grade, too. Like, and it's funny, because I was helping this lady at the fruit stand the other day, teaching her how to use her computer. And
sounds so funny to hear that.
And well, the thing is, I'm talking to her, and she had all this school-related stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah, are you a teacher? She said, well, I used to be, but now she... goes from school to school and basically tells all these schools that they're teaching math incorrectly. She was a math teacher. And, you know, she got laid off at some point and all, like, you know, the educational layoffs and whatever. And she was like, well, fuck this. I'm just going to go back. Like, you're, you know, the shit that your dad pulled where, you know, like he went back into the same job.
Yeah, you're a consultant.
I just got paid more money. But I told her, you know, I kind of laughed and I was like, yeah, I took algebra 2-4 times and never passed it. And she looked me dead in the face and take a wild guess what she said to me.
They were teaching you wrong.
Yep. It's not your fault. Is what
oh, what
said.
Is this, Goodwill Hunting?
And I was like, yes. I was like, it is not my fault.
I don't even remember if I took Algebra 2.
Four times and never passed it.
I took the dummy math in college. I took the lowest level math you could take to get it over with.
And well, she also said that the whole, you know, like a, you know, with siblings, like one's a math and science and one's English. And she was like, that's, you know, that's bogus. But I think there's something to that still. My brother ran out of math classes to take, like in high school. Like he took everything and they had nothing else to give him. Yeah, I think he had 2 study halls his senior year. I never passed Algebra 2 4 times. Maybe, I don't even know how I got out of high school without passing.
Maybe
Algebra
he's
2.
Smart and you're just dumb.
But that's the thing is, like, yeah, he really excelled, like, you know, math and stuff. And not that he struggled at any point, but he had a harder time with, like, English, where I, like, slept through English class and did fine.
Oh, yeah, and that's what happened to me. I was reading a grade ahead, and then they stopped that program, and I had to read the same English books the next year. It's like, I've already done this. Why would I want to do this again?
Yeah, I mean, like, I started out in the advanced English, and I was too lazy to do it, so they bumped me back to the regular English. They basically like, do you want to go back? I'm like, yeah, fuck this.
Work. Work is hard.
Yeah, work's for assholes.
So are your kids showing any of these signs? Is it the younger one, I feel, would be the one that's going to be the mouthy one with teachers.
No, I mean, yes and no. Like, he's definitely more high energy, but he's not
disrespectful.
I wouldn't say he's a, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, I mean, he's definitely more.
He wouldn't yell at the principal over a slide whistle.
Probably
or a siren
not.
Whistle.
Yeah, probably not.
Not yet.
I don't think so.
I wasn't even in my punk rock phase then. I don't know what I was listening to that got me so upset.
Well, yeah, I said earlier that I think I'm becoming you. That last little blast of snow that we got, I had to go into work. It was a Sunday morning. That Sunday morning snowstorm like 2 weeks ago, and I had to go into the store for a meeting at like 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, which blows. And you know, it's snowing pretty heavily. And I parked the car to go inside. I'm inside for a 3-hour meeting, just like the ones we used to have. And at least this one's, like, entertaining.
Yeah, they're not about nothing now?
They're not about nothing. Yeah, at least there's, like, you know, PowerPoint presentations and slideshows and music.
Wait, they don't use PowerPoint, do they?
Keynote.
Okay.
Oh, God. But at this point, like, I could basically navigate the mall parking lot with my eyes closed. Like, I literally just drive around like this and, like, find a parking space. And I pulled up to the nearest row closest to the building, because 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And, you know, there's light poles that run down the middle. So I figured, you know, from looking at the light poles, I'll just pull here next to another car and, you know, just kind of layer it out like this. And then the other side of the light poles is where the other parking spaces are, right?
Right, the poles are always in the center.
You got it.
Sometimes there's even a spot where your nose pulls up to the pole.
Yeah.
See, or at least a corner of it. Sometimes it's on the center of four.
Sometimes it's in the center of four lines. Exactly. What do I walk out of the building to?
I believe I saw this picture.
3 cars deep.
you were in the center row.
So what happened was the people that came in for that meeting after us just pulled in right behind us. So it was another solid row of cars.
So they made...
It was the fuckwads that pulled around the other side. How do you not see this happening?
They lose their minds when there's... Listen, I was reading about this about the snow because people were doing the same thing, taking pictures and posting them online of their asshole coworkers. People have no spatial relationship skills when there's nothing there to see. They couldn't line things up straight if they wanted to. There was a video that showed...
It's not lining things up.
Well, there were already cars there to use as reference, but yeah, they're
dumb. There are two cars here. There's one here and there's one here. If you park here... This car is stuck.
cars don't spin on their axis and drive out.
There is the five-wheeled car. Look it up online. Everybody Google that. They made it back in the 60s or 70s. It pops up a fifth wheel, and it goes, whoop, and you back right up.
Whatever happened to four-wheel steering? Do you remember when a four-wheel steering was all the rage for about an hour?
Yeah, because when you turn the wheels right, the back wheels would go left, so you could do tighter turns.
Yeah, you could do tighter turns, and there was a truck at one point that did that too.
Yeah,
truck, like a Chevy or something.
I don't know who
seemed like all
that.
Like the hype, and like where is it now?
Seems genius to
me. Where is four-wheel? So anyway,
can you imagine four-wheel steering with four-wheel drive or with all-wheel drive?
Right. Well, I think that's what that truck was. I think it was like a Chevy Silverado
or
something.
Nuts.
So
you were in the middle. How did you get out of this?
Well, mercifully, the person that had pulled in behind me, who was there before the person in front of me because it's someone that I worked with, so he got there immediately after I did. Granted, while he was in the wrong and did not park on the other side of the pole as he should have, it was still another. It was two rows of cars, regardless of where the actual spaces are.
Right.
So it was the dipshit in the Dodge Caliber that parked on the other side of me that fucked it up.
And then other people followed
everybody
suit.
Everybody in that row. So mercifully, Vince came out, minutes after I did. Vince came out long enough for me to stand in the parking lot and go, "What the fuck is this?" So that was at like 11 o'clock. I drive home, and what meets me when I get home?
A big pile of snow blocking your driveway.
Car blocking my driveway.
Oh, they were parked right in front of the mouth?
Blue Honda just parked right in front of it. Like, just right there. Now, Salem, I think it just wrapped up, but is on a one-side-of-the-street parking ban because the streets got so narrow because of the piles of snow that emergency vehicles and shit couldn't get through.
Now, which side could you park on?
My side.
So you could park on your
side.
So
he was in the right, and that was the side he could park on. He was in the wrong because he clearly blocked a fucking driveway.
Right, and you can't do that.
Which, yeah, you can't do. So, call the cops. Long story short, it's the old man that lives across the street, and he had moved his car to somebody else because they were sliding. He was doing the, he was doing the right thing, and he just backed up and then just got out of the car and walked inside because he's old and he just forgets things.
Ah, I forgot.
So that was that. And then, so I get old man to move his car, and then we go to the grocery store. This is all on the same day. All right, and within hours, I mean, this is from like 11 a.m. to like 3 p.m. It's like a span of like 4 hours. So I go to the grocery store, and I'm sitting in the car. My wife has gone into the grocery store, and I'm sitting in the car waiting for her. And the kids are sitting in the back. And this enormous woman and her gross daughter pull into the spot next to me in a white minivan with main license plates. And
you can already see this developing. You in your head, you're predicting what's going to happen.
I'm seeing it coming.
And they start living up to your expectations.
But one of the things you learn at the fruit stand is always assume positive intent. And I look over, and I see them both on their phones, like, texting away. And I'm like, well, they made the right move. They got off, like, they got out of the flow of traffic and just pulled over real quick so they could send these texts, and then they're going to pull out. They park. I'm here. They park like this. I mean, literally overlapping my rear bumper. On like a 30-degree angle, all right? I mean, I can get out, but I have to do like this number.
Right.
I can't just back straight out like you normally would. So she's pulled in like this, and they're sitting there texting. I'm like, all right, well, the missus is going to be in there for a minute. It's
fine. You're not going anywhere right now.
I'm not going anywhere.
Give them some slack.
Yeah, I figured they're just going to text, and they're going to pull away, or they're just picking somebody up or whatever. And then Gigantor and her gross daughter get out of the car and start waddling into the grocery store. Well, I'm figuring the way she's parked, she's completely obscuring my car.
And how is she going to get her fat ass between the two of them?
Well, no, it works out well for her because she can just dump right out on the side here and just walk out. And then her daughter opens the door and walks out this way. So it has no... Austin's on fire. So it has no bearing on them at all.
Oh, I see. Okay, I see.
All right. She just opens the door here. She's opening here. And they both start waddling into the store.
Towards other cars.
So I work my way out and I get out of there fast enough to back up into the middle. And this is where I'm becoming you. And you know me, like, I mean, I like to bitch about stuff, but I don't like confrontation. I'm very rarely confrontational, if ever. And I back out into the middle of the parking lot, and I roll my window down, and I go, "Are you really going to leave your car like this?" And she turns out, she goes, "What? Are you really going to leave your car parked like this?" She's like, "What's wrong?" I'm like, "You're on a 30-degree angle in the parking space. And she's like, whatever, and starts waddling back into the store. And all I wanted to do, and I was in my car, and I could have done it because it doesn't matter because it's almost 20 years old. I just wanted to smash into her fucking car. Like, I really just want to drop into first and just pull the parking brake and just smash into her at
and
that
go,
point.
Whatever.
Whatever. Because clearly, like, all, and my, and of course, this is all happening as my wife walks out of the store.
You look like the
and
asshole.
She, so she's passing Fatso, and she looks at me, she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, and I'm having this conversation across the parking lot, and as she's getting in the car, of saying, I'm tired of people like and their bullshit, like you know this, you know, FedEx me my fucking power cord. I live a town away,
right? Thinking they're the only people in the universe, not thinking beyond themselves.
Well, this person in the red car can figure it out. I'm just going to park right here.
Right, I do what I want and not look around. The I get yelled at by the lady for doing it without rolling the windows down. Someone will do a jackass move, and I'll say something like, oh, you asshole.
Yeah.
But I'll yell, and she'll be like, why are you yelling at them? And I go, they can't hear me. Yeah. Just let me get it out.
I forget that. I forget that I either, A, have the top down, or B, that my top is just made out of cloth, and you can hear right through it. I actually yelled in the streets of Salem the other day, this is not Lynn, and the guy heard me. Because he's just, you know, doing that Lynn Mosey across the street.
Oh.
You know? Where
get
it's like,
across the street.
You can run across the border, but you have to walk across the street. Like, really? Like, just get in a fucking crosswalk and I'll let you go.
No, they like to do the serpentine across.
It's the 45-degree angle across the road.
Did we learn nothing? Drives me effing crazy.
And, I mean, I'll say it for enough, but remind me to tell you about getting stuck between the father and son duo from Marblehead on my flight to San Francisco.
I will say that I got stuck behind that lady going down the slopes. She was videotaping her stupid kid.
Of course.
So she's wide stance, pieing it, pizza pieing it down. And I'm not an expert. I just want to get by her.
Yeah.
But her kid goes left. She goes right so she can get, you know, a better shot. So it's not just the kid's back.
Yeah.
So they're going back and forth. Left. She's left. She's right. She's right. She's left. She's blah, blah, blah. And I can't get around. And I want to scream at her. Nobody cares about stupid kids skiing but you. You are ruining it for everybody around you, myself included.
I'll never forget being like 14 years old. I might have been more like 17. We went to Disney World. And it was more for my little sister. Long story short, she ended up getting chickenpox and couldn't go. So my brother, my dad, and I went. And standing there, and like, you know, what's the electric light parade or whatever they have? You know, the big parade where everything's all at night and it's all fucking lit up. So your parents never took you because they hate you.
I was three or four when I went. I don't remember anything.
So they took your sister is what they did.
Yeah.
You just happened to be
I was cute then, though.
So I remember it. So I was like 17. So it was like, what is that, 1992?
Yes.
So, you know. Camcorders, you know, decent. I mean, not like the tiny ones we had now.
Big
but,
old VHS tape.
But yeah, but you know, camcorders, you got, you know, the high eight, like you could hold up
right.
at least. And watching this parade and realizing that none of the children can see the parade because all of their asshole fathers and mothers are up in the front with the goddamn video camera trying to videotape the parade so we can, you know, family memories. Your kid's in a stroller behind you and can't even see. Or the other thing was putting the kid up on the shoulders, so then the other children, you know, behind.
Right, why not just put the kids to the front?
I turned to my dad, and I was like, they do realize that their children can't see this right now because they're videotaping it for their children, yet the children can't see. It's just, I don't, and this was, you know.
People are assholes.
Time immemorial.
It's pretty
from
much.
From 1992 it, on.
I wanted to remind, or you reminded me with that story about people parking. I watched a video where they blindfolded a guy and had him walk through a field.
Uh-huh.
And he was supposed to go in a straight line. And what he ends up doing is doing a series of tighter and tighter circles. We have, to the right, we have this
innate ability
to turn
right, sense to go right.
Yeah, for whatever reason, and the circles just get tighter and tighter, and we don't even realize it.
That's the way that retail stores are laid out. They are designed so that you go right. Like when you walk into, you know, every Target is the same, but every Target's different.
Right.
But it's
you make that left to go down. At least the one here, you make that left to go down, but everything else is to the right.
To the right. Yeah,
once like you make the left
yeah.
towards the main aisles.
The stuff that most people want is on the right. Or the, you know, a smaller, it's probably a bad Target's probably a bad example, but the good shit, the expensive shit, the new shit is always on the right when you walk in.
Huh.
That's interesting that cuz that's the way like they're
Our wacky brains are wired.
Yeah. Go into next time you walk into the fruit stand, walk in the door and see what's on the right.
Oh, the expensive stuff?
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
All psychology.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, it's just, I don't know. Working with people, it can be, and I've only done a couple of the classes, but I've been very fortunate so far that, you know, everyone has been decent human beings and not pains in the asses. And by and large, like, you know, at the fruit stand, like, everyone is nice. But it's that, hey, kitty.
So you're doing all right. The people really just want to know how you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. Like, I mean, I'd like to be making more money. I actually had a telephone interview today. You know, was kind of excited about it. It sounded interesting. Hi, kitty. You want to be on the radio?
He'll rub. Oh,
there you go. You're not purring though. Do I smell like pizza?
He'll rub his face against
it. Can you give me a kiss? Oh, there you go.
There's a little purr in there.
I like kitties. I think it's hilarious. You have two cats and you're allergic to them.
The scale is 0 to 4. I'm a 3 with cats and a 2 with dogs.
Jesus.
4 being the worst.
Yeah, that's what if you hear like a whirring noise in the background.
Oh, I thought you turned that off.
No, it's still on. Nah.
That's one of my air filters.
I didn't want you to die while we were recording this.
It's all right. The missus doesn't care. She doesn't vacuum a damn thing.
So I had this phone interview today, and I was kind of excited about it because the position was interesting, the company was interesting. And so this very boring HR lady and I talked about it for a little bit, and just about the job and whatever. And there was nothing I couldn't handle. And then she's like, well, you know, no, you can't jump on the computer. And she's like, well, it's we have benefits and we pay 50% and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just waiting for her to get to the point of like, you know, well, how much does this pay? And she's like, and, you know, it's full time, but it's $13 an hour. And I'm like, there was part of me that just like, I don't even give a fuck. I know somebody that works there, so I didn't want to be totally obnoxious. But there was part of me that wanted to be like, out of all this shit we just talked about, and you're going to pay somebody $13 an hour to do all of this shit? And then, I don't know if you were copied on the email from our good friend Jim Murray today.
Oh, I was.
And his response to the job that he had applied for. It was a very, and I was in a very similar mood that he was in that response, where he basically was like, you know, mine was the opposite, where I was qualified for it and, you know, could probably, you know, but it was... It was like this. It was insulting. You know, it was almost like, really? Like, this is...
Yeah, I can't even... I'm trying to do the math on that, and it's...
It's
not much.
After... And before taxes or anything else, it's like... It's not even 28 grand a year.
Yeah, I'll just do $10 an hour just to take out the $3 for tax. And, I mean, that's 800 bucks a paycheck, right?
Yeah, and plus the commute to Somerville from Salem, so that takes another $100, at least $100 a month out of the equation.
Yeah, that's a hell of a commute.
And everything else, and I wanted to be like, I mean, some kid from BU is going to be pumped to get this job, but...
Yeah, but then you're going to get kid from BU quality work.
So, yeah, so good luck with that. But it's just... And so, you know, and I explained all this to Jimmy in the email, and, you know, that when I responded to his, Jimmy basically lit up this HR person for, you know, saying that what they're, you know, looking for actually is a trained monkey and not him. which, I mean, Jim isn't, I don't know if he's trained monkey either. Go away. But it's just, it's interesting being out there looking for jobs and what people, I mean, and this was a 5-day-a-week job, but it could be Tuesday through Saturday. It could be, you know, through the weekend. It could be 6 days a week. And it's like, you know, you're expecting way...
You want somebody to be that flexible for peanuts.
$13 an hour. Yeah.
Yeah, you can make that at Best Buy or McDonald's at this point, probably.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I posted my resume and shit up on monster.com, which is the biggest mistake ever.
Well, because they just keep sending you emails.
Well, they keep sending me emails for one, and then Aflac apparently is dying for me to sell insurance. Oh, they want me bad. But I mean, that's like the kind of shit that you have to do. It's like, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know, I mean, the job market is bizarre. It's weird. And everyone's like, well, yeah, I'm not like making any money at the fruit stand by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, at this point, it looks pretty damn good because everything else is kind of shit.
Yeah, my problem with it all is everybody who says, you know, we're taxing the job creators, blah, blah, blah. You know, we need to have that money to create new jobs. The thing is, the people that run the businesses don't create new jobs unless they have to. It's not because they're being taxed a certain amount. They want to hold it onto as much money as they can. The reason you create new jobs is because there's demand for your product.
Yeah.
And so by creating new jobs, the taxes have nothing to do with it. That's a bullshit excuse.
If people demand don't have jobs and aren't making any money, there's nobody to spend money on to buy these things that will be created by the people who are going to take these jobs. And the other thing is, you know, if you look at, you know, what's the stat I saw the other day? The top 400, there are 400 people that make more than half of the population.
Yeah, it's, you know, ridiculous.
Combined or whatever. Those 400 people are not job creators.
No.
They are, you know, financial whizzes who are very good at moving paper around, or they are visionary geniuses like Bill Gates, who stopped creating jobs a long time ago.
Or they were born into it.
Yeah, or they just stumbled ass backwards into it. You know, probably the lower end of that 400.
Which would have been awesome.
But, I mean, the guy that's running Bank of America and getting huge bonuses after getting bailed out by the government, he's not a job creator. That's not the person that's creating jobs. You know, investment bankers are not job creators. And that's like, you know, I keep hearing this, well, you're going to tax the job creators and the people that are making the blah, 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 $250,000 a year, whatever. No, that's not those people.
Oh, and then the argument about teachers, they say, you know, they're making an average of $50,000 a year. That's plenty of money. But then on the flip side, the same people say that $250,000 a year isn't rich.
Yeah.
So 50 grand is okay for a teacher to make, but don't tax me more if I'm making over $250,000 a year.
And don't get me wrong. There is a very like libertarian streak in me where, you know, there's part of me that wants to say the person that's making $250,000 a year worked very hard to get to that point.
Most of the time they didn't.
But I don't know. I think that. I mean, I think about my dad who made a very comfortable living by the time he retired, and he managed to retire early because he was very smart with his money. But I would venture, I've never flat out asked him, but I'd venture a guess that he was probably making close to that a year. But he busted his ass for 30 years at a job that he really didn't like.
Right.
You know, I mean, he wasn't doing what he loved by any stretch of the imagination, but he did something he was good at, and then he got paid well for. And then, you know, they bought and sold their company a couple times, and I think made, you know, a decent chunk of change off of it. But, you know, he didn't fall ass backwards into money. Like, he went to work every day, you know, 8:30 to 5:30 in a suit and tie. So I think there are a lot of people who did work very hard to get that money, but having 400 people make more money than the rest of the country combined is like horseshit. Oh, look who's here. Hello.
Oh, hey. You got something on your forehead.
You need some like Kleenex or something? I've been playing with your kitties.
The one day of the year she's religious.
Yeah, well, look, it's Ass Wednesday. What are you going
to
do?
I know. I've been trying to turn her.
So there's part of me that definitely thinks that and believes that. But at the same time, 400 people shouldn't have.
No, that's just
more
a
money
ridiculous
than everyone
number
else combined.
Just give me a couple bucks and I'll be happy.
Well, it's, you know, the conversation we were having earlier about the food stand.
Right.
you would not have had a four. And I understand, like, R&D and shit costs a lot of money.
You
like,
guys should unionize.
I mean, that's going to happen. But there was a $4 billion profit. That's public knowledge. $4 billion profit in 3 months. And I don't know what the numbers are, and if I did, I probably couldn't say anyway. But if I was to venture a guess, I would say $3 billion of that came from the retail stores. They would not have made $24 billion in a quarter without assholes like me out there slinging like silicon to little old ladies.
Right. You got
to
move it. You got to shake it.
Telling them why. I mean, it's probably a fair decent amount of traffic that comes through the website, but nothing like that comes to those fucking stores.
No.
Nothing like it. So, you know what? Like, you know, stroke me a check for $250.
Listen, Steve.
A little pat on the back.
Doesn't have long to live anyway.
It's not Steve. It's not Steve at all. You know, it's.
I love how we're calling him Steve. Like, and you're like, no, Steve's good. No, it can't be him.
Sjobs@apple.com. Drop him in a line. But, one of the guys I work with actually had lunch with him, which is weird. Walked around the cafeteria in like the Apple campus, and it was mobbed. And here's Steve walking around with a tray full of food.
Just exactly the way people should be. And it's what they end up doing is they end up making a shit ton of money, and they get in their corner office and never come down.
Yeah.
And they don't know anything about anything.
Yeah. And he is walking around the cafeteria with the security guards on up, you know, having lunch, and can't find a seat.
Mock turtleneck.
Mock probably. New Balance. And can't find a seat. And finally, one of the guys at their table is like, Steve, you can come sit with us if you want. Oh, hey, thanks. Plops right down. Didn't get his food delivered to his corner office. Like, didn't get his Audi and, like, drive off to have, like, you know,
and not just any
whatever.
Audi. It was probably an S8.
No, it's not. It's silver. It's one of the,
The R8, whatever it is. The one that
That crazy one. No, I saw one of those in downtown Boston the other night.
Oh, get out.
It was weird. It was red, but it had like a silver, like diagonal stripe on the side of it.
Huh.
Which I had never seen before. It was cool though. No, it's, I mean, it's an Audi. I mean, it's a nice car, but it's like a four door. I mean, it's nothing like, it's not crazy. I mean, that's probably, you know, that's probably his Tuesday car.
Yeah. His Tuesday at 2 o'clock car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go take it home.
Somebody drive this off a bridge.
It's almost out of gas. Go give me another one. So anyway, that's been my life in an hour and 13 minutes that we've been recording here. How you doing? You all right?
I mean, you just saw that my life is cats, dogs, and the live-in girlfriend. Life is good. I can't complain.
And Jay.
I got a job. I got Jay. I do what I do, and I do this. I'd like to do this more often.
Yeah.
So I'll have to figure out a way to get you and Jimmy together at the same time. And I think we'll be trying to do it like this more often, though, rather than every Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Maybe do a weekend thing. So those of you that are actually caring enough, the six of you caring enough to listen to this, we're going to try to do it more regularly. But it just, I think we'll release it on Wednesdays.
Well, do you think it's worth getting, trying that Skype thing again, or was that too big a pain in the ass? Was the delay like too much?
I don't even remember how we did it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I could try it again.
We were doing like fake radio shows. I was in Vermont.
I was in Richmond.
Dusty was in Georgia.
Savannah, yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
I mean, we could try it. I don't see why it wouldn't work.
Yeah. Maybe get stupid Begley. And I don't know why Nancy's in the other room and won't come in.
Well, you know, he's still got his job.
So?
Who
gives a shit?
I don't know.
God damn it.
And he's sick.
Boo.
But you look good. You're a kitty.
You're cute. You look good. Happy Halloween.
I got to go clean my girlfriend's forehead.
I thought you ordered pizza.
Earlier. No, before you got here.
What?
Would you think I ordered it for you?
God damn it.
No.
Nah, I had pizza before I left the house. I've eaten like shit today. Like spectacularly so.
Oh, I ate fruit for lunch.
You should have seen what I made for breakfast. My wife found these like Italian like bun things. I don't know. They're bread, and they have like Asiago cheese melted onto the top of
Sold.
Them. So I sliced one of those in half. I buttered the fuck out of it. And then I have this garlic salt like grinder thing.
I know what you're saying.
Garlic salted the
butter.
This
is breakfast?
I'm not done.
Oh my God.
So garlic salted the butter. Threw that in the toaster. Hopped on the stove. Four eggs, scrambled them up with that same garlic powder. Jeez. Shit. A little chipotle powder.
I thought it smelled like Big Jim in here.
A little half and half, mix it in with them. And I shredded some
Asiago cheese.
No, actually, it was
cheddar.
Pepper jack. So put that in there and did that. And then once I took the eggs out, got the bread out of the toaster, dumped the eggs on top of it. The pan was still hot, so I threw like two or three slices of honey ham.
How are you still breathing today? How have your arteries not seized? And this was just for you?
That was breakfast. Then I had Chipotle for lunch.
Oh, I hate you so much. Hate you for having lunch options. Damn it.
Oh, that's right, where you are. There's fucking nothing over
there.
There's
the Shaws and the Boston Globe.
It's worse. God damn it. It's worse than Shit Town.
Yeah. It really
Jesus
is. There's not
Christ.
Even a Mexican place.
There's nothing over there.
Yeah, I don't drive anywhere. I bring my lunch, and I bring yogurt, nuts, and fruit.
Ah, it's wonderful.
Is it working? Do I look thinner? No.
Nah, he's still got this.
That's genetic. I can't do anything about it.
You got to get that fixed.
Surgery it is.
Yeah, there's surgery for that. All right, well, I'll get out of your bedroom since I'm guessing she probably wants to go to sleep because she's got, like, shit on her forehead.
She's like, she fell down on the way
make
here.
Make anybody tired. I look at it, I'm like, that's the worst zit I've ever seen. So I thought that's where you went up there. But,
oh, no, that's my religion.
That's my religion.
35 years old, still breaking out like a teenager.
Ah, God. At least you have hair. All right, well, good. Well, this has been fun. I'm glad I made the trip.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, and we'll do it again.
You have any beer?
Yeah, of course I do.
All right, let me pack this shit up and have a beer.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.